No need to introduce him. Brian and Carmen, if you go to the Achievers website, anytime you can read a bio about the guest speakers, and they sometimes give a brief outline of what they're going to talk about. But we're very grateful that we're able to find a date where Brian and Carmen and Sarah were able to be with us.
All right. So it's very nice for us to be here. First Baptist has been for a long time one of the churches we consider a home church. Carmen grew up, well, didn't really grow up in the church, but as a young adult became part of this church. And so this is the church where she was baptized, and this is the church where her parents have been for many years, and this is the church which we visited at Christmas and Easter and other times throughout the year for many years while we were living in L'Orange. So we have felt a kinship to this church for a very long time, and it's the church that we have now decided to make our own while we're here in Regina. So it's a great privilege for us to be able to share with you this morning. As you may or may not know, we have served for a couple of years in South Africa, and we were serving with an organization called SIM. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about SIM to begin with. So SIM's mission statement, I'm just going to quickly read through this with you, it says that SIM is convinced that no one should live and die without hearing God's good news. And so we believe that he has called us to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in communities where he is least known. Therefore, compelled by God's great love and empowered by the Holy Spirit, we cross barriers to proclaim the crucified and risen Christ, expressing his love and compassion among those who live and die without him. We work together with churches to fulfill God's mission across cultures, locally and globally. We facilitate participation in cross-cultural ministry by those whom God is calling. And we make disciples who will trust and obey Jesus and will become part of Christ-centered churches. So that's what SIM is all about. And let me tell you just a little bit about its history for a few minutes. John was talking about history, and I thought, that's great, because I have a little bit of history here for you. In the 1890s, three young men studied at A.B. Simpson's New York Missionary Training Institute. We discovered some of this history in this book that was published last year. And all three applied to serve with different missions boards and were turned down because the missions boards were not prepared to send them as missionaries to the interior of West Africa, which was then known as the Sudan.
And they were also very, very young. They were 21, 23, and 25 years old at the time.
Yes, they were very young. And it was a very dangerous place to go, not because of threats in terms of violence, but simply because of health conditions. The area at that point was very prone to malaria, and there just were not good treatments for it. And so a lot of Europeans who tried to go into that part of the world died from health concerns. And so missionary agencies were a little concerned about this. But the three young men decided to go anyway, and they were really encouraged in this by the mother of one of the young men. One of the young men was named Walter Gowans, and his mother was a strong supporter of missions who strongly believed that the Lord had called her son Walter to go to West Africa. And not only did she believe that this was important for him, but she was also recruiting, and Roland Bingham, one of the other young men, was supported by her to go with Walter to West Africa. So they raised support from friends and family, especially from Walter's mother, who was served as their home office. And they referred to their mission as the Sudan Interior Mission, or SIM. And in December 1893, Walter Gowans, Thomas Kent, and Roland Bingham landed in Lagos, Nigeria, which was a coastal city, and they traveled inland from there.
Just to clarify, at the time, Sudan did not refer to the modern countries of where South Sudan and South Sudan are in East Africa. The Sudan was the Sudan River Basin, so that's in West Africa, modern-day Niger, Nigeria, and like Mali, and that part of the world,
yeah.
Just to clarify.
All right. So Gowans wrote in his diary, "Our success in this enterprise means nothing less than the opening of the country for the gospel. 60 million are at stake. Is it not worth even risking our lives for so many?" And they were risking their lives. On December 1894, less than a year later, Walter Gowans and Thomas Kent had died of dysentery and malaria. Roland Bingham returned to Canada the next year. He was 23 years old when he returned. He had barely survived his own bout with malaria and dysentery and was too ill to continue in West Africa. But Bingham remained passionate about reaching the Sudan and continued to recruit missionaries. The third missionary expedition finally established the first mission station in the interior, which survived long enough to begin evangelism outreach. Now, it's really interesting, when Roland Bingham's returned to Canada and met with the mother of Walter Gowans and turned over Walter's personal effects to his mother, her comment was, you know, she was crying as she said this, but her comment was, "I would rather see Walter die serving the Lord than live refusing to obey him." She was a woman of great faith. Now, interesting to know what has come of that. The current international director of SIM, Dr. Joshua Bogunjoku, is a Nigerian whose family came to Christ through the work of SIM missionaries in a village known for its spiritual darkness in the area first entered by the founders of SIM. Now, I think that says an enormous amount of the way that God has blessed the faith of those three young men.
Name Joshua.
And his name Joshua is because of his family's coming to faith in Christ through the work of the missionaries there. So 125 years after the death of Walter Gowans and Thomas Kent, SIM has sent over 12,000 workers in over 70 countries around the world. And that number keeps growing. SIM continues to grow and to absorb smaller missionary agencies that see the value of becoming part of a larger group and collective. And so it has grown and expanded around the world. Currently, one of the things that SIM is focused on is what they are referring to as their Faithful Witness initiative, in which they are sending teams of people into countries and areas where the gospel has not made a presence. And so at the moment, there are teams starting in the southern part of Thailand, which is 99.something% non-Christian. There's very little Christian presence in the southern part of Thailand. There's more in the northern part where missions has targeted in the past. There's also a team going into Mali, and the part of Mali that's got very little Christian presence, and into Chad, which is another northern African country with very little Christian presence. So these initiatives are going on, and SIM is looking for people to faithfully pray for it. So I put that as a challenge out to you. Pray for these new efforts to reach parts of the world where Christ is not known. And SIM today is sending missionaries from anywhere to everywhere. Former mission fields like Nigeria are now sending missionaries. The new Faithful Witness effort in Mali has got Nigerian missionaries taking part.
We've just recently seen a team, a couple and their children from Botswana who are headed to South America. Cindy Berman and
Sidney Berman, and
And then there's a team from Malawi that is being sent to Mozambique. So these are Africans going to other parts of Africa and around the world. So we're really seeing that the mission force for the 21st century is not going to come from the traditional Western nations. It's going to come from the global south.
Yep.
That's what we need to support.
We recently learned that the continent with the most Christians in the world is no longer what you might think, Europe. It's not North America. The continent with the most Christians in the world is now Africa. You may not have known that. I didn't. I was surprised to hear that. But this is the reason why the face of missions is very much changing, because that's where the believers are, and that's where the believers are coming from as part of a missions force. Traditionally, Christian countries like Canada are now receiving missionaries from other countries, as well as continuing to send out missionaries. We know of a Korean couple that's working with First Nations here in Saskatchewan, with SIM. In fact, SIM Canada is now one of the top 10 countries in the world for receiving missionaries.
Within SIM.
Yeah. Not just for sending missionaries, but for receiving missionaries. Okay, so who we are. I'm Brian, as you probably know, and this is my wife, Carmen, whose parents are Lynn and Martha, and I'm sure many of you know them well, and our daughter, Sarah. And here's a picture of us taken in our church in Johannesburg at a mission Sunday when we were representing SIM. And so you can see the map behind us in the picture of the different countries around the world where SIM has a presence, although much of it's hidden by us. We are based, when we're on the field, in the Southern Africa Service Center, which is in Germiston, which is part of Metro Johannesburg. And so we work with the Southern Africa area, and the countries that we serve include Angola, Namibia, Botswana, Malawi, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Madagascar, Mauritius, and Reunion. Until recently, it did not include South Africa, which is where we were based, but that has been undergoing a significant change, and I would say when we return, we will also be working closely with South Africa, and providing support to them as well. So we're currently on home assignment here in Regina, have been since January of this year, having returned to Canada in late December. And so what do we do when we're overseas? My role has been to support missionaries in Southern Africa area through computer help desk service and consultations, as well as assistance in ordering parts and supplies. Okay, so here's my presentation, and the screen just went blank. Now, this is intentional, but if it's not intentional, it gets very frustrating when you're dealing with computer glitches. And so sometimes things go wrong. And it can be really discouraging for missionaries who have to deal with computer problems. And so that's a lot of my role, is just coming alongside them and helping with those types of issues, trying to figure out what went wrong and what we can do about it, ordering parts so that they can fix issues.
My role is primarily in supporting missionaries in their communications needs. My background, as many of you know, is in journalism. So I am the media person for Southern Africa. My role is very varied, but it includes everything from communicating with our missionaries directly through newsletters to helping them with projects that they need a helping hand with. I also am working on expanding this, but it's also to tell the stories of what God is doing in Southern Africa to a wider audience, both within SIM and globally, through our website and so forth. So sometimes my work is necessary because the language that the people that I'm working with use on a daily basis is not the language they need to be able to communicate to. So if you're from the Netherlands and your first language is Dutch and you're working in Angola, you're going to be working primarily in Portuguese. But SIM wants you to report to them in English. What do you do? So, and this is much like in Portuguese. helping to present a clear message that communicates clearly what the goals are of the projects that they're undertaking can get complicated, both language barriers, but also when you're working on the field day in, day out, it's hard to identify. This is a really important story that needs to be told. or have the skill set to communicate that clearly. And that's where I've come in. One of the most affirming messages that I received was this woman I was speaking of, who's a Dutch nurse working in Angola, said, "That is exactly what we wanted to say but didn't have the words for." So that's where I come in.
Okay, so who do we work alongside? We've been able to work alongside many missionaries in the last 2 years, and we're just going to quickly show you a few pictures. So first of all, this is a picture of the team in our office that we worked with. Mostly. And most of the people in here are South Africans who are working in the office. And the one second from the left is our service manager, who is another missionary, but also from South Africa. And I think this picture was taken at our place when we celebrated a Canadian Thanksgiving with our colleagues. This picture is the larger group of missionaries that we work with in South Africa, as well as some of the staff who are employed by SM in South Africa. And this was taken at one of our spiritual life conferences, which happen once a year, where all the missionaries come together for a time of retreat and renewal and relationships.
Yeah. And that picture was taken by us, another way in our, which our skills are used.
Yes. And just to give you an idea of some of the types of roles that missionaries serve in South Africa, we have colleagues who work in children's ministries. We have colleagues who work in orphanages. We have colleagues who do medical work, both with hospitals and also with children's homes. One of our colleagues in the local area where we have monthly prayer meetings works in a palliative care home for children. I mean, that's a discouraging ministry to be in, but we have colleagues who work in outreach to Muslims. We had colleagues who work in theological education. So
also working with outreach with miners. Johannesburg was established as a gold mining center. It's now primarily, that's been phasing out because it's been out there for over 125 years. But now platinum mining has become a huge industry, and there's a lot of people from Mozambique who have come to work there. So there's a couple from Brazil who are Portuguese speaking, as are Mozambicans. So they're working with the miners on a day-to-day basis.
Right, and they're also doing training. One of our regional supervisor team leader, who is now the acting leader for SIM South Africa, was doing theological education among some of these converts who had come to work through the mining ministry, so that they were in turn able to pastor the churches that were being founded there. This is another one of the spiritual life conferences, but this one was in Zambia. So these are missionaries primarily working in the country of Zambia. Mm-hmm. And again, a broad range of different ministries. Zambia has an active medical ministry, so there were a number who work at the hospital there, at Mukingi. There are missionaries working in theological education. One who's actually working in library ministries, helping with resources for churches around the country. There's one who is working in a Christian school as an educator. There was one working in prison ministry. So there's a broad range of different types. Several that were working at a youth center. So just a broad range of ways in which outreach is done and mission is accomplished. Forgot to edit this. Slide was from our Morange trip, so we'd love to visit you while we're here in Regina, not on a future trip to Morange. But please ask us about receiving our prayer letters. We'd love to answer any questions you have about our time there. We do have a display back here with some scrapbooks, with lots of pictures, if you're interested in looking at them. If you're feeling rushed, and I know parking meters are an issue for a number of people here, including us, but if you'd like to hear more about what we've done and would like to have coffee sometime, we're in the city, we'd be happy to come by or to have you over to our place.
How about I ask you some questions while you go plug the meter?
No, we've got 20 minutes or so.
All right. Yeah, so, if you have any specific questions you want to ask us now, or we'll be here eating some more pie, I expect. So, yeah. Yes?
You mentioned that the one missionary who returned to Canada. Were all three of those Canadians?
No, there was originally one of them was a Canadian.
Walter's also.
Yeah, one was a British who had been living in Canada and I think had become more or less naturalized, and one was an American.
Yeah.
So, denominationally, I think one was a Baptist, one was a Presbyterian, and one was an Anglican. So, right from the very beginning, it was international and interdenominational in scope, and it has remained so. There's a broad range of different theological and national backgrounds working in SAM. And that's been one of the enjoyable things for us, is getting the opportunity to be exposed to a broad range of different Christian traditions and ways of looking at the world and looking at faith. And so it's been really rewarding in that way for us.
Officially, it's just the acronym. Part of the reason for that is that the As SIM has expanded, they're working in so many different language contexts that having an exclusively English acronym is not always as helpful. They're also changing their branding somewhat as well, because even having the word mission in their name is not a healthy thing in some contexts. So in English speaking contexts, it's serving in mission. There's been, many different discussions. Our regional director likes to try to rename it every time. He's like, what was his favorite?
Super intelligent
missionaries.
Sitting in meetings is another popular one.
Send in money. So yeah, but of course, yeah. So in the English speaking context, serving in mission. Yeah. Yes.
You talked about how globalized missions are, and how people are going from all sorts of countries to all sorts of other countries.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, it goes through my head, how much sense does this make to have someone Koreans working in Saskatchewan and so on? And is there any attempt to unscramble that at all? Yeah.
Well, there's a number of ways of looking at that.
Yeah.
From a purely business-minded standpoint, where, what's the most cost-effective way of doing ministry, it doesn't make any sense. You're quite correct. Why not?
Behind my question.
Well,
no.
But
in terms of understanding the culture and
I think there are values to be gained in that type of cross-pollination, where Koreans are coming to Canada and Canadians are going to Africa and Africans are going to South America.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a great value for us in the church globally in understanding that there are a broad range of ways of being Christian.
Yeah.
I think the exposure to a Korean serving in Canada is really valuable for the church in Canada, but it's also really valuable for the Korean who's serving in Canada. We went into South Africa. Now, we didn't go in thinking South Africa is a pagan country where our, missionary efforts are greatly needed to evangelize a country that knows nothing of the Lord. What we found going into South Africa was, in many ways, it's a much more Christian country than Canada is.
On a
surface level, anyway. And so we were challenged in a lot of things by being in South Africa. And in a lot of ways, it felt like we got more out of the experience than the people that we were working with got from us. But I think
we also had something to offer.
But we also had something to offer. And I think there, the body of Christ is always a mutuality where we serve one another.
Yeah.
And I think that should be reflected in the mission strategy as well as in other ways where it's not all about Canada needs to minister to Canadians and Africa needs to minister to Africans.
Although they do.
I think there also needs to be that interchange where the Koreans are coming to Canada and the Africans are going to South America and the South Americans are going to Asia. I think in that there is a great blessing for the church at large.
One of the things we also were made aware of is how much of an encouragement it is for nationals to see people coming from elsewhere in the world and living with them on a day-to-day basis. Doing like whole life ministries is something that we've certainly become aware of. I think the other thing I alluded to it in regards to my work as a journalist. Sometimes there's a tendency when you're very close to something to do a little bit of navel gazing, to not really see what needs to be done or what needs to be said or what needs to be heard. And so having an outside perspective in the country can be also really useful. So,
in a lot of ways, we felt like our ministry in South Africa was very much one of encouragement. And it was about the time that we spent with local people, the time that we spent with other missionaries, and just being able to come alongside and encourage them by being there with them. One of the things we did in the 2 years we were there, we had over 75 people, different people, eat at our place. And it was just a ministry of reaching out and encouraging. And it wasn't our official job description, but it was probably the most valuable thing we did while we were there. Truthfully, I mean, my computer work was helpful to people. I mean, Carmen's media work was helpful to people. But I would guess the encouragement that we brought to people was probably more helpful in the long run. And that's the body of Christ, right? We come alongside and we support one another.
If you have any further questions, I can see some of your little ants looking at your watch and worried about tickets on your cars. We want to thank Brian and Carmen and Sarah very much for coming and sharing with us. And if you have any questions, they're right here. Yep.